My name is Jim Yagan. I'm a sinner in the sight of God in need of his forgiveness. The only way I can stand before you today and confidently deliver the message is because Jesus died for my sins. Let's pray for the message. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Please use me to convey your message and let anything else fall to the ground. Please bless Jack and Berta and bring them safely back to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The message today is a life of love. I want to talk to you about loving God, loving your neighbor, and loving yourself. Even though I wrote this message, I need to hear it just as much as anyone here. Henry Haskins said, "How gaily a man wakes in the morning to watch himself keep dying." Clarence Darrow said, "Life is something the first half which is spoiled by your parents, the second half is ruined by your children." Russell Green writes, "Life is an experiment, but you die before you see the results." Henry James said, "Life is a predicament that precedes death." This is a quote from author Karen Armstrong. "Human beings have always experienced the world as a painful place. We are the victims of natural disasters, mortality, extinction, human injustice and cruelty." Following along that sentiment are two unknown quotes. "Life is nothing but a series of problems." And my favorite, "Life is hard and then you die." Some of these quotes are funny, some not so much. All of them are true. I took care of my dad the last 2 years of his life. You might have seen us out in the atrium at Fellowship. It's hard to watch someone lose all their God-given talents and abilities to age, illness, and pain. For my dad, his last 2 years were hard, and then he died. Please read with me Genesis 3:19. "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Aren't you glad you came this morning? Jesus came into my heart at Lost Bridge Great Banquet number 9. Before that, I was a Christian in name only. I joined this part of Christ Church in 2001. My wife, Margene, and I have been married 27 years. I have a daughter, Rebecca, who has given us 3 granddaughters, and she's expecting a son anytime within the next 2 weeks. Margene rescues dogs. These are dogs that nobody wants. Without Margene, all these dogs would be dead. We have one with no teeth, one with one eye, one with 3 legs, one blind and deaf. You get the picture. Margene and I give them a loving home. So if you don't see me here, you can picture me walking or cleaning up after a dog. So what are we doing here? For one thing, we're waiting for the return of Jesus. So in the meantime, before Jesus returns, what do we do? We have our own needs. We have our own will to survive. And then there's all these problems. As we've already heard, life is nothing but a series of problems. As followers of Jesus, life on earth is our training ground. This is the same life that's hard and full of problems. We must learn to love God, love our neighbor, while attempting to overcome these problems. Please read with me Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. We recognize that we are to love God. We are all here worshiping today. We also know that the study of God's word and prayer are ways of showing God our love. How else can we show God our love with our lives every day? We know that God values obedience. If God is guiding you to do something, you should do it. Please read with me Deuteronomy 13:4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave to him. Finally, we can show our love to God by resting in the Lord. Just as a child can rest in his parents' arms, we can rest in the Lord. He does not take our many problems away, but he can give us his peace and his strength to carry us through the problems. What did Jesus have to say about our lives? Please read with me John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Webster defines abundance as ample or overflowing quantity. So how do we get to the abundance? A life that's overflowing. What's it overflowing with? It's love. The rule of love is that one should wish his neighbor to have all the good things he would have himself, and that no evil would befall his neighbor. Please follow along and let me read to you Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, and therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Loving your neighbor is pretty easy to do in your mind. I know if I came up to any of you after this service, even if you didn't know me, you'd probably talk to me. We could talk about our lives and wish each other a nice day, but I don't know if we'd get to the abundance. I have a friend that I do favors for from time to time. Sometimes he needs a big favor, one that takes your time, energy, and other resources. When you complete the favor, his gratitude and joy are noticeable. Since we're in church, I can say the gratitude and joy are manifest. What would it be like if everyone you knew had the same reaction towards you? You would have a life, and you'd have it more abundantly. What is the power of love? I know people sing about it. If our concept of love is narrow, if it's restricted to just a few individual acts of kindness, or if it's just internal piety, it's powerless against the problems of the modern world. I've met a lot of people serving on committees at Lampstand. and I've met a lot of people serving on great banquets. In their quest to help and serve others, they display the power of love. Well, what do they do? What can you see? They have infinite patience. They seek the truth. They plan for dealing with the situation in question. And then they act boldly and unselfishly within their limitations and within the limitations of those they serve with. There are many people in this church that display this power, and it's very plain to see if you're looking. Love deals with living minds and hearts of fellow human beings, and these can only be learned by going out of ourselves and entering into the situation and problems of people. Have you ever seen those crazy guys outside running? When it's 100 degrees out there running. When it's below zero and you can't wait to get into your warm house, they're out there running. I used to be one of those guys. I was just outside of Decatur, jogging on a weekend, when in the distance, I saw a guy walking back and forth in the road. When I finally got close enough, I could tell he was drunk. I tried to talk to him, but I got no response except laughter and words I could not make out. I jogged a few more miles home, and then the still small voice came to me. Go help that guy. It was hot out. I was tired and sweaty. I just wanted a shower. I thought to myself, that guy'll sober up. The voice came again. Go help that guy. I thought, Lord, that guy's younger than me, bigger than me. What if he gets violent? Worse yet, what if he pukes in my car? But it was no use. The voice continued to convict me. Go help that guy. I finally thought, Lord, if I'm supposed to help that guy, send me a sign. And before I finished the thought, a blue, purple, and green metallic insect with long wings flew right up in my face. And it just hovered there. And I could see it in detail, and it was strikingly beautiful. And then it was gone. I said, okay, I'll go help the guy. So I grabbed a couple of bottles of Gatorade, got my car, and drove back to where I had seen him. I told him I was there to give him a ride home and would he like some Gatorade. He drank half a quart of Gatorade and got in the car. I was able to get him out of him that he lived in town. And he mumbled something, but I was not able to make it out. So every little while, I would poke him and ask him which way. Eventually, we got to his house. Once he recognized the place, he jumped out of the car and thanked me over and over. Then he kissed my hand. It was a bizarre experience, but I felt God's presence. I knew I had obeyed God, and I had shown love to a neighbor I did not know. What about in a different environment? I'm talking about love out in the cold, cruel world. Sin, death, taxes will always be with us. Have you watched the news lately? Political antagonism is at an all-time high. If you have no enemies in this world, the television network will find someone for you to hate. Please read with me Matthew 6, 21:22. You have heard it said to the men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And what do you do when you get letters that start like this? Account status delinquent. Payment is due immediately. You are hereby summoned to appear. Failure to remit payment in full will result in escalated collection activity. Whether you get these letters because you failed to meet an obligation, there was a mistake or a mix-up, or it's a scam, how do you treat the person that you get on the phone? Please read with me Luke 6:35-36. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. As I was preparing this talk, I thought about a time in my life when someone where I worked tried to take my job. They did it by spreading false rumors about me and trying to make me look bad at meetings. I thought about how I prayed for that person and greeted them warmly when I saw them and complimented them on things they were good at. In this case, loving your enemy worked, and they were blindsided. They did not know how to respond. Over time, they sought a different method of advancing their career. Because of that experience, I felt I was qualified to talk about loving your enemy. That is, until God sent two people into my life. The first was a woman who lived in my neighborhood. I did not know her. She saw me walking my dog, Max. Max was a stray that Margene had rescued. The woman began to chew me out about ruining her lawn. She caught me off guard. I explained to her how I always picked up after the dog and how when taking the dog for a long walk, except for the leash, I had no control as to when or where the dog went. I even showed her my plastic bags. This did no good, as she continued to blame Max for all of her lawn problems. Max was innocent. 2 days later, she appeared again and continued chewing me out about her lawn problems. This time she said, my dog was urinating in her lawn. Max had run through the lawn, but he did not urinate. I could think of nothing but repeating how I always picked up after the dog. Max was innocent again. A few days later, not seeing the woman, we walked past her house, but she pulled up in a car with her husband and again blamed all of her lawn problems on my dog. I thought her husband might be the voice of reason, but he sat silently glaring at me, and I again explained how I always picked up after the dog. At this point, I was really angry. I wanted to call this lady a dog hater or a lawn worshiper, but I didn't. All I could do was repeat to myself, be angry, but don't sin. Please read with me Ephesians 4:26-27. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. I thought to myself, God is really showing me how unqualified I am to talk about loving your neighbor and in this case, not by my choice, loving your enemy. I ask God to tell me what to do. When our love begins with our relationship with Christ, praying for our enemy is a good place to start. So when walking Max, I would cross the street before I got near the lady's house and pray for her as we walked by. I can tell you, this sounds a lot easier than it is. God has a sense of humor. A few days later, I was walking Max farther down the same street, and an old guy, probably my age, pulled up in a car and started chewing me out about how my dog was ruining his lawn. I gave him my now standard response of how I always pick up after the dog and showed him my plastic bags. He continued chewing until I finally just walked away. Please read with me Romans 12, 19 to 21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In this case, loving my neighbor consists of me crossing the street before I get to these two houses and praying for these people when I walk by with Max. If I see them, I will be friendly because of my relationship with Christ. Until we truly love God, we can't really love people. How do you love yourself? This sounds like a silly question. We're living in a very self-indulgent society. Everyone already loves themselves too much. But that's with the pleasures of life. Please read with me Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and you are making him the Lord of your life, you can love yourself by giving yourself the gifts of discipline and virtue. These gifts can last your whole lifetime and bless you over and over in the physical world. If you already have this life, try and give it to your children. They will thank you. In the future, in the distant future. Let me read to you, please follow along, Proverbs 1, 2 to 6. That men may know wisdom and instruction, understand words of insight, receive instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, that prudence may be given to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. The wise man also may hear an increase in learning, and the man of understanding acquire skill. To understand the proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Proverbs is a book of only 31 chapters. In my Bible, it's only 27 pages. The study and practice of this book can give you a life of discipline and virtue. Let's review our life of love. We intentionally love God through worship, study, and prayer. The Lord values obedience. Our relationship with God allows us to rest in the Lord. He will give us his peace even in times of trouble. If we love our neighbor as ourself, we can experience a life overflowing with love. There are people in this congregation that display and even wield the power of love. Our relationship with God allows us to love our neighbor even when he or she is our enemy. Until we truly love God, we can't really love people. Love yourself by reading and studying Proverbs. It's a gift to you that will keep on giving. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your unfailing love. Please teach us the right way to love you, to love our neighbor, and to love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.